Flattery is the most sincere method of appreciation for another person. This was Dr. Herb L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Capo, California, with instant illumination. Flattering is often said to be the most sincere form of appreciation. Well, perhaps. Well, I like flattery from one point of view. I like to teach philosophy, and in teaching philosophy, I teach, for instance, be yourself and have fun. And when you are being yourself and having fun, then you are being yourself and having fun. Otherwise, you be yourself and have fun. And when people say, I say to them, well, now, what is it that I'd like to have you do? What is it that I'd like to have you be? And they say, well, I like to be myself and have fun, you know. And I say, well, how do you do that? How do you being yourself and have fun? It's being yourself and having fun, or be yourself and have fun. You know, those are just two little phrases that sort of wrap up a lot of ideas. Now, what do you do with your life? What do you do with your goals for yourself, with your attitudes for yourself? Are you being yourself and having fun? Or are you just saying that you're being yourself and having fun? Do you say, I want to be myself and have fun? I want to do these things. Well, the question comes to us then, why don't we do it? Why don't we be ourselves and have fun? Why don't we just live our life in a wonderful, joyous way of being ourselves and having fun? What is it that takes us the furthest away from being ourselves and having fun? The thing is that takes us the furthest away from being ourselves and having fun is that we look outside of ourselves and we judge what goes on there. Now, Jesus made a very terrible statement. It's a statement that would just blow the socks off everybody. Physician, heal yourself. In other words, if we look outside of ourselves and we see garbage, just imagine what would happen if we looked inside. Wow. I guess that's why we don't like to look inside, because there's so much garbage there. We'd rather look outside and look at other people's garbage instead of our own. And you say, well, Herb, that's not a very good thing to talk about like that. Well, yes, it is. Now, think of this here. Know yourself. Physician, heal thyself. Why should a doctor heal himself? Now, the ideal practitioner is the ideal physician who has healed himself, right? The ideal practitioner is the ideal physician who is healed. If a doctor is working in cancer, and all he's doing is saying, it's just nothing can be done about it. There's no solution, there's no cure, there's no nothing, there's no nothing. Well, he ought to get out of that field. He ought to go into having babies or something, you know. But the thing is, if he's in a field, and people come to him and they say, doctor, you're an expert on cancer. Now, this is my problem. What do I do? The doctor says, well, as far as I'm concerned, there are many ways that can take care of your situation. First one is to clean up your thinking. Wouldn't that be nice? And the second one is to have an operation and have the cancer removed right now, while it's early in its case, you know, well, as early as you got it to me, you know, and then we'll take a chance on having it pretty well cleaned and it does not come back. And if you want to do that. But now, if you want to stop and think about this for a week or a month or a year, it's going to grow and grow and grow, and then we'll talk about it a little differently. But if you want to do what I can do, then I'm here for you. Now, well, doctor, can I take pills? Can I take the naturopathic things and have it help? Yes, you can, but you have built this up in yourself for a long time. Now, if you want to take the naturopathic way and go the slow boat, that's okay. Now, the naturopathic and the attitude that I'm whole and perfect are both the same. If you will believe that you're whole and perfect, it's done. If you believe in the naturopathic programs, it's done. Same thing. Makes no difference. If you believe the operation that I, as a medical doctor or surgeon, can conduct on you and remove some ugliness from your system that you don't want there anymore, then great. Now, if you believe that I'm going to get it all, that's great. If you believe that some of it's going to miss my scalpel, then, you know, you're not helping me. You're not helping me at all. If you believe that I'm just going to go in there and womp it all out and suck it all out and pshup, it's all gone and there's no more and you're back to your original purity and integrity, you know, if that's what you want to believe, then great. So you see, now this is what a doctor does. And this is why a doctor is not as beneficial as a practitioner. Now, a doctor is not as beneficial as a practitioner because the doctor has to do what? The doctor has to do what the patient wants. The doctor cannot operate on the patient unless the patient wants the doctor to operate on. The doctor cannot give the patient pills and make sure the patient takes the pills unless the patient wants to do it. But a practitioner doesn't give a hoot and holler in hell about the patient. You understand that? The practitioner only looks at this friend that has come in and says, hey, I would like you to treat for me. The practitioner does not say, what's your problem? The practitioner says, do not tell me your problem. We will look at you and see you in your original purity and integrity. We will see you whole and perfect. I will release from my consciousness that you even have a problem and see you magnificent right now. Physician, heal thyself. See, that's just strange. The religions of the world, oh God, help us, help us, help us. You know, they forget that Jesus said, physician, heal thyself. He said, knock it off. Stop praying to God to help you. Perhaps know that God in you gives you guidance and direction into proper thinking, into proper attitudes. But he's not going to change your outer. He's not going to change your body. He's not going to change anything. Because you have put that in there. You want that, what you got. Now, you've got to stop wanting it. You got to start wanting something else. Now, do you want to have a perfect body? Oh, would I love a perfect body? My goodness, a perfect body would be the most wonderful thing in the world. Oh, my goodness. But, not for me. I mean, I've had this thing too long. I know that's not an easy thing to do. This is a tough one. This is going to be real tough because it's been there a long time. Well, let me give you a silly illustration here. You're driving down the street and you're going the direction you think you should be going. And then all of a sudden, something clicks in your head and says, I haven't been down this street before, and I should have. I should really know where I'm going. And then you pull your car over the curb, and you look at some likely person, and you say, excuse me, can you tell me where X Street is? And now, do you believe that person can tell you, or do you believe that they're unable to tell you? Are you asking a young person, like a 3-year-old, 5-year-old kid, who may not know the streets yet, you know? Or are you asking a 15-year-old boy or an 18-year-old girl? Or are you asking an adult or something? Or are you asking someone who looks like they don't know what's going on? What are you expecting from them? And that's exactly what you get. They will give you the wrong answer, thinking it's the right answer, because they don't care. They're not going to see you again. You want to know where X Street is? Up, three blocks. Hey, I'm the biggest idea where X Street is, you know? And if that's what you're expecting, now are you expecting to get an answer? Then why don't you go where you should go? I know the divine in me knows the answer. Now, do you believe that? And no, you don't, because you don't practice it, you know? And so you stop and you ask a person and they say, X Street is up here, 3 more blocks. And the main part of town is 1 block down. Oh, good. So you get up there, and there you are. Now, you're 2 blocks from X Street. And you stop and ask somebody else, but you're not really confident in the first person's response. Because the first person was just disheveled and sort of looking like irresponsible, you know. So he asked this next person, and the next person says, "I don't know, I just moved in town here. I'm from Iowa." "Oh, is that right?" "Oh yeah, I used to be from Iowa." And you see, you allow yourself to be distracted. "Oh yes, Iowa is so wonderful. Oh, your little daughter looks just like a genius. Oh, she looks just like my daughter. Oh my goodness, this is so wonderful. It's so nice to talk to you. What did you want, sir? You stopped your car and you asked me a question." "Well, where is X Street?" "X Street? Well, what's on X Street?" "Well, the main part of town." "Well, just turn right here at the corner, go over there, and then turn left, and you're at the right center of town." "But where's X Street? I got to go to X Street." "I don't know, but I know where the center of town is." So now, what are you going to do? The first guy says, "Three blocks, turn right." This guy says, "Turn right here," and then you go up two blocks. And what happens? The same thing, right? Now, what are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? If you believe in yourself, you'll do the right thing. Now, this is not an unusual occurrence, but this is an unusual experience. Are you a practitioner who wants to know the gory mass of people's problems? And the answer is yes, because you want to know what it is. You want to know what it is. And as long as you want to know what it is, you're not a practitioner. You are a voyeur. You're one who likes to look at things. You like to look at dirty pictures, you know. Illnesses, disease, and unhappiness. Yeah, yeah. I said to Anita, "Anita, make this beautiful." And she didn't say, "My God, all those bushes and all that trash that's on the hillsides there, and I'm supposed to make it beautiful." She didn't say that at all. What'd she say? She said, "One step at a time." And so she went out there, and one step at a time, with her two helpers, she cleaned the whole thing up. And now she's going to go further. But the thing is, one step at a time. She believed in herself, and she didn't say, "Oh, this is such a big job, it's so difficult to do." She just said, "One step at a time." And she did it. Now, do you stay one step at a time? Ellen lives in the embassy, and she has 300 rooms in the embassy, and she lives in three of them. And the other rooms that she has in the embassy get dusty and dirty and so forth. So Ellen spends her Saturday mornings going through the house with a vacuum cleaner and a dust mop and this and that, cleaning everything up so that she can do it the next Saturday. And every Saturday she goes and does it. Nobody uses it. Nobody uses the house, but she dusts it and keeps it clean because it's there. Now, is that a burden to Ellen? And if it's a burden to Ellen, why does she do it? If it's not a burden to Ellen, then that's what she does. Now, does Ellen love that house? Yes. Does she enjoy the house? Yes. Does she keep the house clean because she wants to keep it clean? Now, does she clean it on Saturday? No. Every day when she walks through the house, she gives it a lick and a promise. She keeps it all beautiful so that when it comes time to clean the house, it's just shush, done like nothing. So here, she might have the biggest house on the property compared to any of us, and she has it the cleanest, and she keeps it the nicest, and yet she does everything else too. Now, how could she do that? Because she loves it. When she sees anything, she puts it in place. When she does anything, she fixes it up right away. When she spills something in the refrigerator, she washes out the whole refrigerator in 10 minutes, and it's done, you know? And so it looks really nice and fresh and clean. And this is what we want to do as a practitioner. As a practitioner, we want to see it in our mind's eye, and then we see it in fact. If we're going to have people come to us, we are the physician, and we must heal ourselves first. We must heal ourselves of any desire, any need to know what the illness is. Now, A medical doctor, generally speaking, is interested in knowing what the problem is. They're called symptoms, so that he can offer the right type of pills or the right type of statement to put you into order. Now, that's what you go there for. Now, I am trying to put the medical doctors out of business, and I'm doing my best at doing it. And I'm telling you that if you will just follow the teaching of Jesus, physician, heal thyself, you as a practitioner will never need a medical doctor. Now, if you do, it's just because it's fun, you know? Just because it's charming. Just because somebody else is doing it. You want to do it too. Well, I always ask people to consider, well, now, somebody else is doing it, so you think you should do it? Now, as remember when our parents would say to us, just because they want to jump off the Brooklyn Bridge, you want to jump off too, you know? And but I can't swim. Well, I think jumping off the bridge would be kind of silly then, wouldn't it? You see, we have to live our lives according to who we are. Now, who are you? Do you say, I know that I know that I know, the divine in me knows the answer, and mean it? Or do you say, God, where am I going to find this answer out? You know, I'll go on the internet, I'll go on the dictionary, I'll do this, I'll do that, you know? Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself, and as you believe in yourself, everything works out for you. Everything flows beautifully for you. But if you don't believe in yourself, what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen, except whatever the world is going to bring to your doorstep. Because that you're going to call your problems, and that you're going to call your destiny, your fate, who you really are. What was our theme for our Christmas seminar?
Santa's gift to me. Santa's
gift. Yeah, yeah, but what was the gift?
Oh, the gift was a bag full of stem cells.
Stem cells, yes. Now, Santa's gift to me is fine, but the stem cells. Now, this is my gift to you, and it will be my gift as long as it takes for you to accept it. My gift to you are your own stem cells. What is it that happens to patients in the hospital who are having a heart implant or having a liver implant? What happens sometimes?
Rejection.
Rejection! What happens with a stem cell?
No rejection.
No rejection. So, this is what I want you to do. I want you to work with the no rejection stuff, where you're working with your stem cells, which return you to what?
Original purity and integrity.
It returns you to your original purity and integrity. And this is where we're going, to our original purity and integrity. And if we keep our consciousness totally focused on our original purity and integrity, that's what we get. That's what we get. And if we slip, we'll know it. We'll get back on. Get back on. You don't have to stay off. If you're on a hay wagon, you know, taking a ride on a hay wagon, and you slip off the wagon, run up and catch up and crawl back on again, you know. Oh, sure, it's kind of tough getting up there, a slippery hay, but that's the fun of it, you know. And that's life. Life is a hay wagon. And we're riding along. We slip off occasionally, but we get back on. We get back on, and you just got to make sure you get on the right hay wagon. Because when you get on a hay wagon with a bunch of boozers, that's one thing. And if you get on a hay wagon with a bunch of dreamers, that's another thing. And if you get on the hay wagon with a bunch of people who know that they're God and live like they're God and express everything from their divinity, wow, you're in heaven. That's the hay wagon to heaven, right? Now, you know, this may amuse you. As everyone will tell you who's ever been on the hay wagon to heaven, ever been on the top hay wagon, you know, you don't slide off. Once you're up there, and you're in with your original purity and integrity, clear as a bell. You don't slide off. You don't even get on. You don't even know there's other hay wagons around. There's only one. And that's you. And that's your purity and your goodness. Now, do you want to experience just that? If you do, then take your nose and stick it inside yourself. Be interested only in yourself. And as you're interested only in yourself, remember, yourself is always creating. You're always creating by using a mirror. And that mirror is right out there held, and wherever you go, you're looking into a mirror. And everybody you see is your reflection. Everything you see is your reflection. And so if everything you see and everybody you see is your reflection, and it's good and very good, then you inside of yourself are good and very good. But if you see outside of yourself a lot of garbage, a lot of things that are not very nice, then that needs cleaning up inside of you. And how do you do it? Well, you go to the doctor and have them cut it out, huh? Well, what you'd rather do is start concentrating on the beautiful and the good, the glorious and the true, which is who you are. Have a lovely morning and live in that consciousness and be happy like I am. I love you. I love you.